Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and blessings, and welcome to another installment of the Gist for Freedom of Faith. This show is produced by acclaimed historian, educator, and author Leslie Gist, and serves as our weekly live online discussion to celebrate the African American experience by honoring all the people, past and present, black and white, who, with faith and focus, are preserving our rich history through literature, the arts, the skilled trades, and the humanities. We thank you for joining us tonight, and we'd love you to be a part of tonight's discussion by calling in with your comments or questions to 347-324-5552.
The most militant opponent of Booker T. Washington's philosophy of
Hello,
this is Ben Johnson with the Universe Soul Circus.
Hi, Ben. Very nice to talk with you. This is Shelley Gaines, the host. How are you? Hello,
can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, I hear you fine.
Okay, great. Well, let me introduce you formally. Again, this is Ben Johnson, the Director of Marketing for the Universal Soul Circus. He's come along to talk about the circus and find out more about it and exactly how they got started. And, Ben, how long have you been with Universal Soul Circus?
I've been with Universal Circus since 1994 when we opened the doors in Atlanta for our very first show. So this season is our 19th season, and next year we're celebrating our big 20th anniversary.
Well, congratulations. That is quite a run, and I wish you all continued success. And I want to find out now, who actually is the founder?
Okay. Cedric Walker is the founder and president of Universal Circus. He's still with us. He's a native of Baltimore, been in Atlanta area for a while, a few decades now, and actually comes from the concert and rock and roll side of the business. He cut his teeth in nightclubs and eventually went on tour and with the Commodores for years. And from that, he transitioned into promoting concerts and events. He worked with the likes of the Jackson 5, Michael Jackson, New Kids on the Block, and a number of other major artists over the years, and then went into plays. Worked with one of the plays he worked with was Good Man's Hard to Find, and eventually he kept doing that and one day said, well, let's create a variety show.
Okay.
And he was talking to one of his colleagues, and they were tossing things around and said, well, let's do this, let's do that. And somebody said, hey, let's just make it a circus. And so that's how Universal Circus came about. And
my goodness.
Yeah.
That's a big leap from concerts and promoting.
Yes, yeah. I mean, it's a very unique thing. He saw a void in family entertainment for African Americans and said, true family entertainment. There was entertainment for kids. There was entertainment for adults. But there really wasn't entertainment where the whole family could go and the whole family have a good time.
Okay.
And that's how they went from the concept of a variety show to a circus. And in a year later, after the idea came up, we had the first show. And we've been going strong ever since.
Within a year, that's incredible. I mean, how do you get financing for something like that?
Well, a lot of the money, he started with his own money that he saved up from his promoting days. So he invested quite a bit of his own money, and then he did also tap investors that he'd worked with in the concert and promotions business for years. He tapped them, and they put up money. And so that's how he got his seed money for the circus.
Wow. Now, how many acts did you all start off with?
Oh, wow.
Do you remember?
Sorry. Wow. Oh, you really are challenging me now. Okay. In 94, I would say we probably had about 12 different acts, roughly the same number of acts we carry this year. I mean, throughout the years. I think we still had roughly about 12 different acts. Mm-hmm. And we've always had a mixture of types of acts. So you would have your acrobats, you'd have your aerial acts, meaning high wire or trapeze or something up in the air. You would have clowns and some sort of comedy act included.
Okay.
And of course, you'd have exotic animals. Our very first season, we had lions, and we did a thing called Daniels and the Lion's Den. That was one of the skits.
Mm-hmm.
And his cousin, actually, who had always been intrigued by animals and had snakes as pets and stuff, he actually got his cousin to train to go into the ring with the lion. So it was truly a family affair, and a lot of firsts were made with our first year.
Wow.
And his cousin,
now, I read somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Ben. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I read somewhere that your initial acts were all black via black descent. I don't want to say African American, but just
right. So the initial concept of Universal, actually the very first show was not as we call it now Universal Circus. It was Universal Big Top Circus.
Okay.
Was our very first show because it was we ended up changing the name, I think, in 97, if my memory's right. So we had, we featured black artists, you know, artists of African descent. And because our initial focus was on the African American audience, and we wanted to show people, kids and adults alike, that we had this talent from around the globe. And so yet, though we may have had some acts from Africa or from Europe or from other places in those early years that were only African, you know, of African descent, it was a way for us to showcase our abilities as a people, that we could do more in this particular world of entertainment than sing and dance and or play sports. So not that anything's wrong with any of those, but just, you know, as a circus, we had those abilities.
Oh, wow. Okay. Now, where do you find this talent? I've been to the circus. I thought it was amazing, and I'm like, where do they get these people? So, tell me.
Well, we get our talent from all over the globe. So, in the early years, we had to go out and really look, and I say we, but really it was Mr. Walker who went out and looked and searched for this talent. And he also, in doing his research, because he did a lot of research on circus and artists, he found agents. So just as you may have an agent with for sport, for athletes, you have agents for artists. And so he was able to connect with these different agents and actually go find talent all over the globe to present under the Big Top. So we'd always have a new act every year, a new show every year with new acts. And when I say all over the world, if you look at our list from 94 or even today, you'll see acts from South Africa, from Ethiopia, Kenya, Morocco, Ivory Coast, Gabon, Guinea, all those are in Africa. Then you can go to Europe and find acts from France and Spain and Italy and the Ukraine, Russia, Moldova, Bulgaria. We've got acts from Mongolia, from China. We've had acts from Australia and gosh, I'm sure I'm leaving some countries out, and of course the Caribbean. Those,
right.
Those are some of our favorite, some of our staple acts come out of the Caribbean, like with the Caribbean
my
dancers
goodness.
And the stilt walkers. So, yeah, we have acts from all over the world, and of course, I'm sorry, I excluded South America and the Latin America. We've had acts from Mexico, Colombia, Venezuela, Peru, Chile, Argentina, you know, so from all over the globe.
When did you all decide to become inclusive and kind of branch out to other, you know, nationalities? I know you have, you know, the Shaolin warriors that are performing
mm-hmm.
with you. And
mm-hmm.
so when did you decide to branch and go to some other cultures?
Well, it was sort of a natural progression for us as we were showcasing the talent of African Americans. What we were finding is that the influence of African American culture, as we were showcasing talent of African of people of African descent,
mm-hmm.
what we were finding is that our culture, the African American culture, actually has been impacted other cultures around the globe. And what he was finding in his travel and what we were getting in terms of people coming to us saying, hey, we've got this act, we'd love to do this, is that whether you're talking about R&B and jazz and blues to hip-hop and gospel has influenced
mm-hmm.
cultures around the globe, and now you have a fusion of acts that come from different walks of life in different parts of the world. But the commonality is that music or that influence on dance or that influence on fashion. And so it just was sort of an evolution more so
okay.
than a conscious decision. But now we actually, you know, we've been actively looking at acts from around the globe and bringing them into America and giving them that flavor that you can only find here. That we can
mm-hmm.
present and
mm-hmm.
wrapping it all up under the Universal Circus Big Top. And so that's how it's come about. And so we encourage everyone to come and see the show because everyone likes the show. I mean, once you get
mm-hmm.
under the Big Top and you hear that first beat drop and you see the artist come out and the lights go up enthralled by the whole show. And
well, I tell you, I was thoroughly entertained. From the beginning to the end,
uh-huh.
when I saw it a few years ago, I couldn't believe it. And I want you to tell us what makes
uh-huh.
your circus different from like the Barnum Bailey's or the Big
uh-huh.
Apple Circus. What makes,
uh-huh.
I know in my mind, but you tell me because you're the director of marketing. So you
For you and your listeners, I guess there was a little typo or something. But I'm the director of operations, but I have been working with the marketing team for a number of years.
Oh, okay.
So,
I'm sorry.
So I can speak on a few things on the marketing
okay.
side.
Okay.
As far as what makes our show unique from the other circuses or really other events, we're the most interactive circus in the world. You won't go to another circus and be as involved in the show, whether you're talking about Soul Train line that we have,
mm-hmm.
or you're talking about the Beach Balls, or you also have Response and Call, where, you know, we may say Big Top and you say Circus.
Mm-hmm.
Dance along, sing along, it's just so many different things that make us interact. But beyond that, you also have the fact that inside of our tent, everything is up close and personal. And so, whereas with Ringling, you may find that you're in an arena and you may not get that real up close and personal feel, under our Big Top, you find that we're able to make you feel like you're a part of the show and you've also invested in the show. and it's fun, and you never go to sleep like you would at maybe another event. You just don't go
okay.
to sleep.
And then it sounds like, too, from what you're telling us, is that you incorporate some of, you know, African, you know, roots, like the call and response, you know, the soul
mm-hmm.
train line. I mean, that's something
mm-hmm.
uniquely, you know, African-American based. So it sounds like you put that
right.
in there, too. Which,
right.
Which
that's part
sense.
Of our format, because
mm-hmm.
when we go into the idea of what the show will look like, as much as we may bring in new acts each year, there are elements of the African-American experience that you're going to find incorporated in the show. And so that's one of the things that makes it unique and different from other circuses and other, you know, show experiences, is that you have those unique features about our culture that you just don't find everywhere else. Or you find that other people are beginning to adopt them
okay.
and
oh,
use them.
Okay.
You know, you will find that other shows, because it's not simply that only people who are African Americans can enjoy it, because other
right.
people enjoy it. We've had a large attendance in some cities from the Latino community. We've
mm-hmm.
had a lot of the what people call general market or the white audience come out in cities, and everybody's enjoying the same thing, but it's unique to Universal. Mm-hmm.
That's great. And
mm-hmm.
also, now that you started off with 10 cities, now how many cities have you expanded to?
Typically in a year, we're doing between 28 and 32 cities in under the Big Top. We start at the end of January and go right up to Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And so this year in 2012, we're going to do 28 cities total over 43 weeks.
Oh, okay. Okay. Now, do you know if you're going to Trenton, New Jersey by any chance? Someone
this
asked.
Year,
that's a couple, I think, you know, I'm just
no, it's fine. No, they can ask any question they have. Trenton, New
yeah.
Jersey, no. We have, we will be in Philadelphia
mm-hmm.
October 24th through November the 4th. That's the
okay.
closest we're going to be to Trenton this year.
Okay.
We played New York City. We played three boroughs up there earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, yeah, that's the closest we'll be to Trenton this year.
Okay. Now, how do you decide to go to a city? What lures your circus to, like a city that might be interested in having you? What do they have to do to, you know, have the circus come to town, so to speak?
Well, we are, a lot of it is based on the demographics in terms of
mm-hmm.
having the population base for us to come. We've typically played... we played almost all of the major markets in the U.S., and then some of the markets that aren't as popular. So, you know, a lot of it's based on population. Some of it is based on the proximity to another market that we're already playing.
Okay.
So whereas in New York, we play three boroughs, and then we go across the river and play in Newark.
Mm-hmm.
It has enough people in the New York City area for us to do that. We wouldn't necessarily play four different locations in, let's say, Kansas City, Missouri area. It doesn't have that
right.
that number. However, people can email us at info@universalcircus.com with their request. And they actually will. I'll end up getting them because that's part of my job as director of operations to do
mm-hmm.
work the routing. So I will respond to everyone. It's best if they're from an organization or from a city or county or state agency that
okay.
is requesting the invite. And we've been invited by mayors. We've been invited by organizations. We've been invited both like social organizations as well as your Boys and Girls Clubs, but
mm-hmm.
it really takes a lot to put the circus on. So
I can imagine the cost.
Yeah, the cost are up there. And so, it takes a good 20 to 30,000 people to come through the tent in a
mm-hmm.
week for us to, you know, make it worth the time and all the effort and energies and monies to get into a city and perform.
Okay. And usually the normal time you're in a city, how many days does it average? Is it
most
2-3 days you're in it?
No, most of the markets that we play are one-week
mm-hmm.
markets.
1 week.
They are typically 5 to 6 show days there. And
okay.
then we have several markets where we play 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or 4 weeks. So,
mm-hmm.
It's great when we're able to be in a market for 2 weeks or 3 weeks. We're able to do more in the market because we do a lot of community outreach. We love to go
mm-hmm.
to schools and festivals and other places with, and participate in things. So being in a place for 2 or 3 weeks gives us that opportunity.
Great, great. And I'm just curious, too, as far as the acts itself,
mm-hmm.
which act is the most dangerous? I mean, I know there's a few, but in your mind?
Wow, most dangerous. That's
yeah.
a tough one because, you know, you think about the tigers that we have on the show.
Yeah.
You think yeah. about people on the high wire.
Mm-hmm.
All it takes is one slip because a lot
right.
of our acts perform without safeties. You think about someone on a trapeze who's depending on someone else on the other end to catch them. Or
mm-hmm.
Our motorcycle riders in what we call the globe of death, where they're going 20, 30, 40 miles an hour in a tiny space up to 6 riders at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, the most dangerous. Ooh. Mm.
Well, have you had any mishaps?
Yes. Yeah, so over our 19-year history, we have
yeah.
had a few incidents. Luckily, we have not had any one pass away. We've not had any injuries that our people did not recuperate from. So
okay,
we've been very fortunate in the history of circus because if you look
mm-hmm.
at the business as a whole or you look at the industry, there have been some that have made that ultimate sacrifice. But for their craft, it's hard for me to pick one particular act and say this is the most dangerous act
okay.
because there's some things people do on the ground level that really people don't realize how dangerous the hand balance can be or flipping someone with their feet
right
or especially when you think about what the Shaolin Warriors are doing this year with their martial arts. If their concentration isn't just right, they could be injured pretty badly. So, but they're all professionals. So,
yes,
we encourage that the kids do not try at home.
Definitely, definitely, and no cousins who like animals to just be thrown into the lion's den.
We're way beyond the first year now, but that was a very interesting thing. I mean, that was a situation back in '94 where he was able to train for a number of weeks and months and actually pull it off. Most of the people you see inside the cage with
mm-hmm.
a tiger or a lion,
mm-hmm.
they've been training for 10, 15 years to do that.
Oh.
So,
that's good to know.
I
didn't know that. Wow.
Oh yeah. You don't just show up and say, "Hey, I want to play with a tiger." That's not quite
right. Right, right. The elephants, same thing? You have to be trained that long to work with the elephants too? Or
the elephants, my experience has been that the elephants are trained by the owners. So you do find people who come in and the owners actually present them. You have, like on our show, we have some of our Caribbean ladies who dance with the elephants, and they learn how to ride on the elephants. But in terms of the commands and knowing exactly how to keep the elephant moving and where and when and all of that, that comes through years and years of training and growing up with the elephants. So we've been very fortunate with our elephant trainer. He's one of the best in the business and is well respected in the industry. And they're basically an extension of his family. And you'll find that in a lot of instances with animals and their owners who are in animal performance, it's basically family, and they treat them as they would some of their children.
My goodness, that's interesting. That's very interesting.
It's not your typical owner pet scenario. It's much deeper than that.
It's much deeper. Okay. And what about now your decision to go from one ringmaster to a trio? That's new, correct? This 2012?
Yes, that is brand. This is the first year we've done it. It's been very well received across the country, and it's just our way of doing something different, keeping it fresh, keeping it, keep the audience always expecting something new from us. Because every year we change our show. So people who saw the show in 2011 saw a different show in 2010 and saw a different one in 2009. So, even though it's an annual tradition in a lot of parts of the country, the show is always different. But the trio of comedians have been very well received. They do some improv stuff there as well. So it's just a great way to expand what we do and to present it differently and try not to be stuck in any one routine. We like to keep
That's
it.
That's fabulous. That encourages me to go see it again.
Every year it changes.
Okay, that's great to know. Ben, is there anything else that you'd like to share with the audience?
Yes, we'd love for the audience to like us on Facebook. That's one of the best ways for people to get up-to-date information. If they have questions about us, if they send it to us on Facebook, they'll forward it over to the right person to answer that question if our Facebook contributor can't answer the question. Like if they have a question about routing, if they have a question about an act or whatever. And then, of course, we're on Twitter too. So they just have to like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter and they get up-to-date information.
Is there a website?
Of course, universalcircus.com, that's Universal. So it's UNIVERSOUL Circus, CIRCUS.com. And to learn more about this year's show, just click on the show tab when you land on the homepage. And has information there. And of course, you see a tab for the schedule. If you want to buy tickets, of course, we'd love for you to buy tickets for a show coming near you because, we'll be in Memphis this week and next week we'll be in Detroit for 2 weeks and then Chicago 4 weeks. And after Chicago, we'll be making an announcement in the next couple of days of where we're going after Chicago, but for 1 week. And then after that, we'll head over to Philly.
Great. So for all these people in the South Jersey area, Northeast area, they will be in Philly soon. Go on the schedule, go on the website, go on Facebook. Ben, I want to thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
And talking with us on the Gist of Freedom.
All right.
Have a wonderful evening.
Okay. You too.
And we look forward to seeing the Universal Soul Circus.
All right. We'll look forward to having you.
Thank you so much. Good night.
All right. God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Shelley Gaines for the Gist of Freedom, August 28th, 2012. Have a wonderful evening.